Well, it's great to be here again. I'll try not to talk at you today. small audience. Fishing seems to be a theme today because I do have a reference to it. But I just want to say, Bill, sometimes your stringer's full and sometimes you only get one or two, so that's okay. If you turn to Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, we can read the scripture that says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened." And those of us who are Christians and read that scripture, sometimes we interpret that as that we should go and we should ask and ask and ask and ask for all of our needs. And I believe that we should. And we should ask for the things that we want, the things that we need. But at times I think that we turn our prayers into, we turn God into like a vending machine. If our prayers are only for what are only for asking for the things which we need or want, then God turns into like a vending machine, or he's this ATM machine, and we've got somebody else's card, and we want the cash to just keep on coming out. For example, I like to fish, and I was going to use this example before I heard all the fishing going on today. I love to fish when I'm catching fish. Now, as I've gotten older, I enjoy the entire experience. I enjoy fiddling around in my tackle box. I enjoy getting the rod and reel ready. I enjoy going to the fishing store. I enjoy being out in a boat. I don't care if it's raining anymore or it's sunny. I just like the experience of being out there and casting or jigging or whatever I'm doing out there when I'm fishing. But I can remember there were times when I was a whole lot younger when I would be fishing and after about 5 minutes, nothing's biting. And you know what started? You know what I started to do? I started to ask and I started to knock. Boy, I've had some fervent prayers about catching fish. You know, when you're not catching something and you really like doing it, boy, your prayers can start going up there. I take a big northern. I don't care about the walleye today. Just give me a perch, a crappie, but anything to get on this pole. And I think at times our prayers can turn into, or putting God into this position, where we're like children who never come around to a parent, except when they need money. Dad, haven't seen you for a month. Do you have $20 that I can borrow? I need gas for the car. And sometimes we can put God into that position. So today I want to talk about something all of us Christians need to do more of. I want to talk about and try to answer this question. Why do we pray? Why should we engage in this special activity? What is so sweet about prayer? If we turn to Exodus 20:29, and while we're going to Exodus 29, I'd like to read to you a scripture. This scripture comes from Psalms 141, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." You know, incense smells so good. It smells so sweet. And we have candles around, scented candles around our home. And I can walk by, oh, that's the vanilla almond. That's the cinnamon candle. And those candles, scented candles, smell so good. And incense, when you walk into a store, at the mall or something like that, and you can smell that incense, and it is so sweet. It smells so good. And God says that prayer is like incense. And that psalm said that the prayer is like incense at the evening sacrifice. Now, if we go to Exodus, and again, I'm going to begin in Exodus 30. It talks about those sacrifices. And I actually put a picture, drew you a picture of the tabernacle. And in the bottom picture, you can see the incense altar in that picture. And you can find it in the upper picture where it says the altar of incense. So that's what this section in Exodus is actually talking about. It says, "Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. Its length shall be a cubit, its width a cubit. It shall be a square, and its height shall be 2 cubits. Its horn shall be 1 piece with it. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and its sides all round, and its horns. And you shall make gold molding all around it. And you shall make 2 gold rings for its under its molding. You shall make them one on 2 side walls on opposite sides, and they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put this altar in front of the veil that's near the Ark of the Testimony." So if you look at that picture, you can see there is the Holy of Holies, and right before that entranceway is that incense altar. In verse 6, "You shall put this altar in front of the veil that is near the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over the Ark of the Testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. And when Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense." If we think about this, what is going on all the time inside this tabernacle? There's incense burning. You walked in, and the closer you got to the Holy of Holies, I imagine that incense was actually stronger. But incense was always burning inside that tabernacle. So there's a lesson for us there, I think. You know, how often should we pray? Well, we should be praying often. You know, our incense is not practical to be praying on our knees 24 hours a day, but we should be praying on a regular basis. "And there shall be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." Meaning, again, we should be praying people. If we call ourselves believers, followers of God, disciples, then we are praying people. "You shall not offer any strange incense on that altar, or burnt offering, or meal offering. And you shall not pour out a libation on it. And Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering, of atonement once a year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord." So, the psalmist, and in other places of the Bible, equates prayer as that beautiful, sweet-smelling incense that is in the tabernacle. But my question was, why do we pray? Well, before we answer that question, let's answer the question why we shouldn't pray. Go to Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, begins to talk about this. And in verse 5 it says, "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites or the actors. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." You know, when we pray, it's not about impressing God or impressing men. It goes on, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." Now, I know that a long time ago that this analogy of the incense was that incense is beaten fine, and it's very powdery. And our prayers should be specific. They should be, very in, all the details in there. Now, I don't really think that's what Jesus is saying we should do. I can remember getting a list of evangelists at one point, and a list of all the regional directors, a list of all the senior pastors, and I was told to pray for them on a regular basis. Now, I don't think that's wrong to do, but I was told to pray intently for them. Take 5 a week and pray for them. Take another 5 and pray for them. And we can do that. But on the other hand, why couldn't I just put the whole list on my bed and say, God, help all these men. Help them and all their family. I think we can also do it that way as well. I guess what I'm saying is when someone's sick, we don't have to go before God. Let's say that they are going to the doctor for, like recently up in the Mineral Wells area, we have a man who is having prostate problems. You know, when I pray to God, I don't have to try and impress him and act like I'm a urologist. when someone goes to the hospital because they have heart problems, I don't have to try to impress God with my knowledge of cardiology. I'm not the doctor. God made the heart. He knows everything about it. So again, Jesus said, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So I don't think when we pray, we're there to impress God or impress people. It goes on, verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Well, why are we praying then? Because we're not praying to inform God. He already knows what we need before we ask. We prayed today for several people. God knows what's going on at your architectural firm. God already knows that Sandy needs a job. I forget your name again. Elizabeth. Elizabeth, right? God knows what is going on inside Elizabeth's body. And he says, we're not here to inform him. Let's go on to a prayer where someone tried to impress God and inform him. Let's go over to Luke 18. There's a Pharisee here who is trying to impress God and man, and he's also trying to inform God of how impressive he was. Luke 18, verse 9, it says, and he told his parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. And 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. And the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying to make himself look impressive to God and to all the people around him. God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week, impressing God and informing God of how great he is. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. There's the prayer. There's the prayer that God is looking for. And the other one is the prayer that God is not impressed with. Because I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Well, then the question is, if prayer is not to impress or to inform God, why do we pray? Well, I believe the answer is in this statement. We pray to invite God into fellowship. We pray to invite God into fellowship. He is our Father, and we are his children. And like children, we need to have regular contact, regular fellowship with our Father. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 1. You know, God knows what we need. God knows our state. So why do we pray? We want to invite God into our lives. Verse 1 in 2 Corinthians 6 says, and working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. When we pray on a regular basis, and I mean daily, maybe two or three times a day, some prayers may only be one sentence long. What we're doing is we're inviting God into our life to help us, to talk to Him, to whatever's on our mind, but we're inviting God into our lives. Go to Mark 16, beginning in verse 19. Mark 16:19, it says, so then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. We want God to be part of our lives. And when we pray, what we're confessing to God is, we want you in our lives. You know, God does not force us to invite Him into our lives. He doesn't tell us the exact time to pray. He really doesn't tell us or command us. There's no command in the Ten Commandments to say, you must pray daily. So I think this is a test for us to see how often that we will invite God into our lives. So what are the reasons that we want to invite God into our lives? Well, we want to invite God into our lives when we're hurting, when things aren't going well. But don't forget to invite God into your life and to tell Him about the good times. Things are going good, God, and I thank You for it. You know, not just when we're hurting or when we have a major trial, but when we're being blessed beyond measure, don't forget to invite God into your lives. You know, we want to invite God into our lives when we have need. Money is scarce. We have a health issue. We have trials at work. But don't forget to invite God into your life when your life is full. The bank account is the best it's ever been. Your health is very, very good. And jobs, you've got too many of them. You've got to decide which one to take. You know, we should invite God into our lives when we want and when we're satisfied. We need to invite God into our lives when time is tough or the going's easy. And we need to ask God into our lives when we need to know answers, big answers, or when we're found happy and we seem to know all the answers. You know, prayer is a confession that God is invited into our lives. And when we invite God into our lives, I think there's something special that actually happens. If we go to John 10, beginning in verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Did you ever have those times in life where you've wondered Where is God? Is He speaking to me? I can't hear Him. What's going on? He seems silent. Well, my belief is the more we invite God into our life, the more that we'll be able to hear His voice. If we're not inviting Him to speak with us, why should He pick up the phone to call us all the time? You know, we need to invite God into our life to hear His voice. There's a book. I didn't read the entire book. I actually caught about 10 pages on Amazon. It says, the book's title is Inviting God Into Your Life, A Practical Guide to Prayer. And this quote says this, we each need to find a path to pray daily in order to live in God's love. Prayer, simply stated, is both the ways you relate to God and allow Him to touch your life. It will point the way to hope and heighten the deepest knowledge of yourself. Prayer will lead to personal freedom and heal your broken spirit and relationships. Prayer will help you find your course in life and open to you the way to eternal life. Prayer connects you to the heart of God, who is your daily bread and enduring peace. You know, inviting God into our life on a daily basis may not provide us everything that we want, but it will provide everything that we need. So if we pray and we're knocking, we're asking, and God's not giving us everything in the same time period that we want, I do believe that there's something that is going to come about, though. If we go to 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse, it's just, I believe 2 Corinthians 13. I'm just plucking a scripture out that's not really related to prayer. But I find those that pray not just to get something from God, but those of us who have found that prayer is more than just treating God like a vending machine, we are going to get something superior than just getting the things that we want. We're going to get something more superior than the things that we think we need. When we invite God into our lives, I think this is what we're going to find. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I think when we go to God in prayer, to just talk with Him and to invite Him into our life, what we're going to find is we're going to find the love of God. You know, we may not get that great job, $12 an hour, $18 an hour. We may not get the new car. We may have to settle for the used car. Our health may not be 100%. It may be better, but it may not be 100%. But what we will find is the love of God. We'll find that fellowship with Him, and we'll be led by His Holy Spirit. So why do we pray? I believe that we pray to invite God in to our lives. You know, during the times of the tabernacle and the temple, an altar was specifically built for incense, that sweet smelling smell. And during this present dispensation, the prayers of saints are the sweet incense to God that God savors and that God loves. So what I'm asking you to do is don't pray to impress God. We don't need to inform God, but let's go to God and invite Him into our lives on a daily basis.